This is Real Ghost Stories Online. It's our live edition where we take your calls live on the air and share your real ghost stories to the world. We do it on Wednesdays now at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Back to the night shift on this. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us live.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number again, 216-446-7810, to share your real ghost stories with us. Would absolutely love to hear them tonight. Phone lines are open right now. If you want to be the first one on the air tonight, then that is the phone number to dial if you're sitting there waiting for some ghost stories. And if you wouldn't mind, do share this with your friends. Let people know that we are doing this thing live. I am literally doing that as I speak. So I can put it out there on our group page, over to the Grave Talks, and a couple different paranormal websites or Facebook pages that are out there that are open to us, letting them know that we're doing this thing live. So go ahead and share that if you don't mind. And at the end of this whole thing, I will pick somebody for a spirit flask. Yes, I will give one of those away. My one that I usually have in here is not in here right now. It's actually in my office because I was working on something earlier today with it. I wasn't drinking during the day. I was recording something with it. So I needed it for the taping. Yeah, sure you were, Tony. I believe you. Of course I was. It was empty. It really was. Anyway, I will pick someone at random for that if you press share on this. Or if you share outside of the social media, if you share it like on Reddit or something, you'll do a hashtag of Ghost Podcast, and then I can search for everybody and then privately reach out to somebody to get you hooked up with that. Want to remind you, we've had a lot of additions this year to our EPP program, and I really want to throw that out there because there's so many cool extras, and we really need to keep the EPP program alive in order to keep this show alive. And if you are an EPP, I thank you so much for that. We cannot do this thing without you. And if you've been thinking about becoming an EPP or thinking about going back to be an EPP, I really would encourage you to do so because that support is something that that is really very much needed for this show. And I know sometimes subscriptions lapse, credit cards lapse, and some people forget, I want to sign back up for that. So if that's you or you've been thinking about it, please do make sure that it's active or sign back up over at ghostpodcast.com. Some of the extras that you now get is a copy of our book, an e-copy of the book I send to every EPP when you sign up. Just let me know. You also get advanced episodes of the program. Every single episode we post weeks in advance before they go up publicly. And then you also, of course, get the EPP episodes, more than 220 of them now up there. You get access to every single one. There's bonus video content. And I'm always trying to come up with new extra stuff. So there's usually surprises throughout the year. And of course, if you do the yearly subscription thing, you get 1 month free and you can claim the spirit flask or a bunk bed bill. I still have a couple of those left too. So please do consider that. If you have someone who likes ghost stuff, that would be a pretty cool Christmas gift as well. You can get somebody signed up for that and give them all the login information. And then they can get in there as an EPP as well. Kind of a cool thing. So anyway, I ask for your care and generosity. If you like this program and you want to see it progress into the years to come, that support is truly needed. I know we do have some ads on this show. It is a few and far between thing in terms of, you know, I think there's sometimes the impression that, oh, they're making tons of money on those commercials. Is my response to that. It would be lovely. It would be nice. But unfortunately, we are a show that it very much depends on you guys. You would laugh at what we make on commercials. So if you like the show, I ask for the support if you can. I really appreciate it. And we're always trying, like I said, to get extra stuff out there. Anybody has any extra ideas for cool extras? that can feasibly be done, I'm always open to it. We're always trying to evolve it, like I said. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Got a caller, it looks like, at 419. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Adam Brown calling from Port Clinton, Ohio.
Hey, Adam, welcome to the show tonight. You got a ghost story for us?
Yeah, I do, man. That's what I want to say, man. I listen to your show quite a bit at night, and I kind of aggravate my girl by listening to it.
I aggravate my wife by doing the show, so, you know. And she used to be a main part of it. So.
Well, I dig it, man. And this is the story I got to tell. Back in about 2004, I was going to college at Northwest Community College in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the guys around the dorm on a weekend, we stayed in the dorm. Well, they were like, want to go out to this town called Old Salem. It is a closed down town that used to have a children's orphanage in it, and there's a cemetery out there. And I was like, yeah, you know, we'll go. I was in my early 20s, you know, so I'm like, let's go check it out. Well, we get out there, and as soon as you get to this place, it's out in the middle of a cotton field in the woods. You got to climb over a gate. We get out there, we climb over the gate. I'm thinking it's just a bunch of crap, you know, I'm not going forward or believing anything. We lose all cell phone service on our phones. Everybody loses their service. We had a couple flashlights. They quit working. Well, my buddy gets a fire burning on a stick with a shirt wrapped around it. We get out here around these graves. And the graves are all children graves, from little young kids' graves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said if we move one of the toys, because there's toys on the graves, and they've been there for years, some of them are rotted and deteriorated, but if you move it, and then we go walking around graves when we come back, they'll be where we put them. Well, we moved a couple of the little stuffed animals off of the grave and put them on the ground beside it. Went walking around. Well, they weren't back on the grave when we came back, and they weren't on the ground beside where we put it. All of us were together. There was nobody else out there. It's out in the middle of nowhere. So we kind of got tripped out about it. We went back to the cars. They were sitting in our seats of our cars.
Oh, God.
There was three of them that were in the seat of the car. And we had our doors locked.
I was just going to ask.
The doors of the car.
Yeah.
We locked them. I drove because my friend didn't have his driver's license. But he still had his car there at the dorm. So I drove us, and I had the keys in my pocket. I locked the doors when we left, and all three of us were together the whole time.
Okay,
real so, trippy.
I got to ask, you know, what happened? You know, you got in your car and left at some point, but how did that go, getting in the car with the toys? Did you take them with you? Did you put them? I mean, what would happen then?
We freaked out about it and we like ran away from the car and ran down the road probably for about 5 minutes until there was a street light out there by an old farm, and we stood around and talked. We didn't know what to do. I didn't even want to go back to the car, but we all agreed on going back. We got the toys, we took them, and we sat them right over the gate that we climbed inside of there, and we left them sitting there. A couple weeks later, they wanted to go back out there, and I wouldn't go back out there, but my friend filmed it with an old school camcorder when he went out there, and it cut off on him when he hopped over the gate, but the toys weren't there anymore on the other side of the gate when they went back out there, and their car wouldn't start back up for them to leave until the next day. We went out there, and I helped them get it. It started right up in the sunlight. The town is called Old Salem. It's a closed-down place.
Yeah.
Really trippy.
The ideas of the toys. I don't know what would be scarier. And you tell me. This is, I guess, a would you rather. Would you rather have just kind of off in the distance in the cemetery heard the laughter of children when you were there that night? Or would you rather have had what happened happen, where the toys physically got into your car? What would have been a more comforting experience for you that evening?
If I would have heard the children laugh, I think that would have really terrified me. I think that would have scared me really, really bad.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody out there. You're not even allowed to go out there. You can be arrested for going out there, and we did anyway.
I'm just thinking,
we were young and in college.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if you had the children laughing, you could somewhat psychologically write it off as, oh, it's raccoons or it's something off in the distance, and it just sounds like children. The fact that those toys physically made it into your car, I think, makes it that much scarier. I would think I'd almost go with the children laughing in that that situation, just because there's a spark of possibility that it's not something paranormal going on.
I went over it in my head 1,000 times, wondering, did somebody bring toys, one of them, and try to set us up and put them in there? But they were in the driver's seat and the passenger seat up front, and they were the toys that we moved.
Yeah.
So, like, I had to tell myself 100 times, them were the toys. Like, as soon as we walked up, it was like the moonlight was shining on the car. We could see them through the window.
That is creepy.
It was 100% legit. That made me believe all the way around about ghosts. And don't be out there fooling around with them unless you want to get scared or messed with.
I
couldn't even sleep that night.
I completely agree. I completely agree with you. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us tonight. We do greatly appreciate it. 216-446-7810, our phone number, 216-GHOST-10, to call in those ghost stories to us live this evening. Stormy night. As you, if you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube, you can see the lightning in the background, right? Yeah, it's not. It's one of those lightning Halloween decorations that I have out there onto the fogged window. It looks pretty cool. It doesn't look like my head's kind of in the way on Facebook, but anyway. Creepy stuff. One other thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot to mention earlier when we were talking about the extra EPP stuff that we've added this year, is called the Fast Pass. If you're familiar with Fast Pass, is it like Disney World or something like that? You know, it gets you to the front of the line pretty quick. And that's something that I had no idea we'd ever even have issue with on this program as far as getting letters basically screened for airing. It's pretty backed up. We're back into fall of last year. When I'm putting together a show, that's how far back I usually am as far as getting through the letters. And anyone is welcome to submit a story at realghoststoriesonline.com. But if you want your letter reviewed right away, because I always get that question, is, did you read my letter yet? And if you sent it in the last 365 days, probably not. We're probably just about to get to it. But EPPs now have a way to get those stories to us through a FastPass email address. And you get that when you become an EPP of any level, $5 or different. You get that FastPass email to get your stories to us immediately for consideration. And I can usually get to those pretty quick and then possibly use it on an upcoming episode, you know, usually within a couple weeks of you sending it. So that's another neat extra thing that we've added there for EPPs. If you need that address, drop me a note and I can get that to you. Caller at 954, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello, caller at 954, are you there? And no one is there. It's a ghost caller. Phone lines are open at 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. And, of course, if you have any questions about the program or anything, feel free to try and drop it in the comment section here on Facebook. And I will do my best to answer it as we go through the program. Tammy, yes, the answer to that, is that for existing EPPs? Yes. All of this stuff exists for existing EPPs. All the extras, they're all there for existing EPPs and new. So it's all extra stuff that that is up there for you. Tanter says, that was me. I'm sorry. Well, Tanter, why don't you give us a buzz back and we can hear your story here on the program tonight. Mike Lodgman, something like that. Hello from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Probably one of the few people who can pronounce the name of the town, considering I grew up there. Hello, Mike, and welcome to the program. I don't know you, but I'm sure we've been to many of the same places. Give us a buzz tonight if you want to hear or if you want to share your ghost story with us. We'd love to hear it. 216-446-7810. Hi.
Hi, Tony. This is Braulio calling from Washington State. I started listening to your show like 2-3 weeks ago. Excellent show. My story happened, my experience happened, I'd say a year and a half ago. It happened in Yakima, friend's house. Me and her, my friend and her, has a sister. She was with us at the time, watching TV downstairs. Their house was built, was one of the first houses built in Yakima. Two-story house. I remember every door had one of those skeleton doorknobs, you know, from back in the day. Anyway, we first became friends. He would tell me that there was something happening in their house, which I didn't believe, you know. He would tell me that their mirrors would be broken when they would get home from school, you know. And I never saw anything like that. But one time I remember his parents were out of town. He invited me over to spend the night, you know. We were watching TV, like I said, downstairs in the living room. And all of a sudden, we all hear one of the doors upstairs just slams, like, really loud. It's not something you just brush off, you know. Yeah, I mean, I was like, what the heck? And they, the sister, she's like, you guys all hear that, right? I was like, you know, I was freaked out. But I knew they had a dog. They had a small dog. And, you know, I was like, oh, it might be the dog. But I come to find out that the dog was outside the whole time. I went upstairs, checked out all the windows. Nothing was open or nothing, you know. And I watch a lot of ghost shows. And, you know, those are the first things you want to check out. The windows, any air that might get into the house, you know, that would cause the door to slam. And, I mean, and even if the window was open, I mean, the door wouldn't slam as hard as it did. So from that point on, you know, I started believing everything he would tell me. I mean, to this day, they're still living there. I haven't really checked on them, but yeah, that's my story. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. One of those things where you probably look back somewhat and go, I don't know how they're still living there. You know, every time I start laughing, I start coughing. That's the worst thing about bronchitis. And I love to laugh, is that's like one of the biggest triggers for me is laughing. So it's difficult right now. But anyway, thank you for that story. I won't go into anything because I'm going to laugh if I talk any further about that. All right, 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us live on the air tonight. We would absolutely love to hear them. I'm going to start doing this thing. I thought it'd be kind of cool to do it in the evening hours. Everybody's kind of at a more, relaxed pace. Afternoon, I know everybody's kind of busy getting done with work, picking up the kids, doing whatever. Unless, of course, they're in the UK, then it already is the evening hours. But I just thought maybe this would be a better window for all of us for the program. So if you have a real ghost story, this is the time to call it in at 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10, while we do this thing live. I got a question here from our Wisconsin friend who said, do you miss Wisconsin, Tony? And the answer to that, because I've been seeing pictures from friends and stuff over the last month. And after I saw like the snowfall at the very beginning of October, and not just like a dusting where it's like, oh, I think there's snow out on that grass, but no, it looked like an inch or two. And like, you got to go, you know, clean your driveway off. It's like, no, the answer is a very firm no. I don't think I could ever really do snowy climates again. I've had my share of that, and I've realized I don't like it. So that's my answer to that question. 216-446-7810 to share your real ghost stories with us. Anne, hi.
Hi, guys. My name's Anna. I'm from PA. I just wanted to call in and tell this story. I've had it since I was like a child. And I don't know, I was thinking about sending a story to you guys. I was like, oh my God, I actually have a ghost story to tell. So when I was younger, my mom's grandmother passed away. So my great grandmother, and she, they moved all the stuff out of her house. And one of the things that came to live at our house was her stove. Actually, it was relatively new. And so it came to live at our house, and we were actually getting rid of a stove at the time, so we just put it right in the kitchen. And we didn't think anything of it, but every night the alarm started going off. And so my mom started getting up in the middle of the night to turn this alarm off. And then after a while of this happening, she noticed that the alarm was going off every night at the exact same time. And then eventually she put it together that the alarm was going off every night at the time of her grandmother's death. So after a while of her getting up and turning the alarm off, and, you know, she had four kids to take care of at the time, she was pretty exhausted with waking up every night. After a while, she got up one night and turned the alarm off at 4:12, the exact time that it went off every night. She got up, she turned it off, and she said, it's okay, Grandma. Like, I know you're here. It's okay. And that was the last time that the alarm had ever gone off. But coincidentally, the next day, we also had a picture that was from my great-grandmother's house. It was of the Last Supper, because we're a good Catholic family, and my parents had hung it up in our dining room. And coincidentally, that day at dinner, the picture fell while we were all sitting there. So just a fun little story that we have, you know. It's nice to remember her by some of those things, but we did get rid of the stove shortly after that. So thank you, guys.
It's always interesting when you have those items in your home and you're not quite sure, you know, initially what's causing something, why something is being triggered. But then when you're able to narrow it down and then remove it, and then suddenly everything calms down. I'm trying to think. I've never had anything. I've never had an object that I would say was haunted or had something connected to it. So I think I'm probably lucky in that sense. And it's funny because I'm someone who has had a lot of antiques come and gone throughout my world, throughout my life. Many a times, my family collected stuff. You know, nothing expensive, just kind of stuff. It's like you go through the antique store, like, oh, we need this. Let's put it on top of the, you know, how moms did in the 90s. On top of the kitchen, on top of the cupboards and all that. And then usually with the antiques would be a lot of ivy. I don't think my mom did the ivy, but I think actually I did at one point in time in my like first apartment. hey, it was 2001. But a lot of just stuff, you know. And God knows where some of that was from. And that's a really weird part about some of those things. I think your odds go up the more that sort of stuff you collect. Although I never have considered myself a sensitive person where I'm going to pick up on anything. And I think a lot of times with stuff that people collect, it really is more so the level of sensitivity that the individual has who's around it that's going to determine if there is something that's actually going on or something being picked up with it. Almost like if you have a dog whistle, you know, you can whistle it all day long and most people are never going to hear it. But if you have the right person there, they may pick up on it as well as your dogs. So there you go. 216-446-7810. I'm curious, what's the strangest antique item you've ever seen at either an antique store? And even more interesting, if you bought it, what was it that you purchased from the antique store? You can either call that in or leave it here in the comments. And I'll read those here on the episode. Of course, 216-446-7810, our phone number, 216-GHOST-10, if you want to talk about that. If anybody has any haunted antique stories or suspecting to have a haunted antique, please do call in. I haven't had an object like that before either, says Nathan. Diane says, I have lots of antiques. None of them have ever been a problem. The most disturbing one I saw was at a antique store in Wisconsin. Actually, it was a gravestone. It was a slave gravestone. And I don't know if the antique proprietor didn't realize what it was, but it was like in the glass case right at the front of the store, kind of with some of the more expensive, rare stuff. So I'm kind of thinking maybe they did. I'm just thinking even if somebody else brought that in, because I believe it was one of those the antique stores where it's consignment and people have booths and things of that nature. If I was the proprietor of that store, I'd be like, look, no, this is not an item that we're going to be allowing for sale here. It's just, I can imagine like the holiday 20% off. Look what I got for 20% off today at the end. Oh God. So anyway, Whaley House, very cool. Says Rachel, Nathan, I know a whole house that was haunted. It was one freaky house, very, very active. The interesting thing about that is when it comes to some of those things, you can have a single object that is the culprit of the haunting. And then once it's gone, that can sometimes alleviate quite a bit of mess there. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is a fan of the podcast, and I just wanted to share with you a story of mine. I was actually listening to, I think it was the Reclusive podcast about the gentleman who worked in hospice. I'm actually a registered nurse myself, and I've had a couple incidences where things have happened to me, you know, working in the hospital or just in various areas. But the one story in particular that I wanted to share with you regarded when I was only 20 years old. And actually, I had just decided that I wanted to go to school again, to college. So I was getting all that paperwork lined up. And I had just moved back in with my mom and my stepfather. And my stepfather and I had a very rocky relationship. He was an alcoholic. I didn't like the way he treated my mom, and we just never really got along. Trying to mend those fences, trying to go back to school, him and I got in an awful heated argument on Halloween, actually, out of any other day. It was Halloween, and it was just a dumb argument, but we left the conversation with us not talking, and I just felt awful. That evening I sat down, went to sleep, and I was just thinking about it, and it just didn't seem set right with me, and I felt like I needed to apologize to him. And on this specific evening, I went to bed, and I had a dream. And, you know, it could be for whatever it's worth. It could be the fact that the whole situation was heavy on my heart or what, but I remember standing there in line. And then I realized what line it was. It was a funeral parlor, and I was looking at my stepfather in his coffin. And I remember the feeling I had when I was looking at him in the coffin. The feeling was just nothing. You know, I had no emotion. I didn't care in my thoughts that he was dead. And I woke up from the dream thinking, my gosh, like, that's awful. Why would you have no emotion over a stepfather in your life who's actually been there, you know, more than your own father? Even though if he's an alcoholic, he still tried the best that he could. So I went to work that morning. I only worked a half a morning, and I went home and found out my stepfather had passed away on November 1st. No joke. He was actually home with my brother when he passed away of a massive heart attack. It just happened. He apparently felt nauseous because the evidence showed that he had some nausea. He had a fan blowing on him. And he had a massive coronary. So with that being said, I don't know if it was a premonition. I don't know if it was something spiritual, if it was just my, you know, my conscience, I guess I should say. I have no idea, but I just walked away feeling like life is precious. You know, I took that to my heart. You know, we should never stay in a mad state or fight with loved ones for a long period of time, because you don't know what's going to happen the next day. You know, there's forces that are around us that we can't explain. And, you know, that's not the only real weird occurrence that I've had in my life. So, you know, maybe I feel more paranormal or supernatural influence than just a coincidence. I've called in before on some stories on the house that I used to live in Maryland, and things that happened to me when I was younger. But, you know, I wanted to make sure I shared that story with you. And then I do have another story I'll share another time. But the Reclusive podcast spoke with me, and I wanted to make sure that I had called in just to kind of give you my my thought on that, and my dream or my premonition, whatever you call it. So, and I do have another dream, actually, I'll share with you real quick. My the stepfather dream, a week, or not even a week, maybe 3 or 4 days after he passed away, after his funeral, I had a dream, another dream, of him coming back to me in my sleep. And I remember he always used to sit at the computer, you know, back in the day when we had desktops. He was sitting in his room at his computer like he normally does, no different. And I remember thinking in my head, you're not supposed to be here. And I had said to him, why are you here? You know, has this been all a dream? This isn't real, because you shouldn't be here. And he had said, no, this isn't a real, but it's not a dream. And I wanted to let you know that I've passed on to a better place, that your mom will be taken care of, that I loved you the best that I could. And I felt like that was just closure for me. And again, it was another dream, and I've never had another dream of him before. So, interesting. But anyways, I hope you guys have a fantastic week. And I think that's it for now. Thank you so much.
It's a powerful line there. This isn't real, but it's not a dream. You know, think about that for a second. This is really happening. Or this is not really happening, but it's not a dream. Meaning like the facts of it are real. That's just, I love that line. That's very interesting. Caller at 512, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Amanda.
Hey, Amanda, let's hear your ghost story.
Okay, I'm calling from San Antonio. I was actually the person who wrote in about the one-room schoolhouse that was on the episode with the zombie ghost clown.
Okay, quite a ways back.
Yeah, but you had asked about if anybody had experienced haunted cars.
Okay.
Yeah, and I had a story, and I tried to write it in, but it took me so long to write it, I thought I would call in and tell you about it.
All right. Well, let's hear your story.
After I had lived in that small town, I moved to Indianapolis, Ohio, Indiana, and I had a car that someone had hit. I had to take it to be repaired, and, you know, the insurance company set up for me to have a rental car for the moment, and when the person came to give me the car, I looked in the car to see who was sitting in it, and there was no one in there. And I thought, that's weird, but we went on about our business, and I signed the papers, took possession of the car and stuff, and I thought, this is just in my head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, after that, I would be riding in the car at night, and I'd have, you know, I'd suddenly look up into the rearview mirror to see who was in the back seat, and there would be no one there. And I thought, this is totally weird. And anyhow, I thought, well, maybe I'm just imagining this. Well, then a few days later, my daughter was riding with me, and I kept doing that. And she said to me, does it feel like there's somebody in the car with us? And I said, yeah, it does. Isn't that weird? And it felt like it was a man. And anyhow, I thought, okay, well, this isn't just my imagination of somebody else's experiencing this too.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to be the case that when I'd pull into my garage and stuff, I'd think, man, it felt like someone was riding with me in the car. And I got to the point where I would go outside. I had that car. It ended up, I had it for like 2.5 weeks because they kept finding things wrong that they couldn't repair with my car. And they had to make it all right before they brought it back to me and stuff. And anyway, I ended up finally saying, you know, because it felt like that the presence was starting to move into the house, you know, because mm-hmm. I'd go out to the garage to have a smoke because I didn't smoke in my house, and I'd feel like somebody was sitting there, you know, in the back seat of that car. And anyway, I got to the point where I'd say, okay, I don't know who you are, but you're not welcome here, and I'm sorry if something happened to you that was unpleasant, but I can't have that here. And you're not welcome in this home, so you need to go back to where you're from.
And yeah. Did it respect that wish?
It seemed to, because it felt like that before before I said anything, it felt like I was starting to feel things in the house. Mm-hmm. And like I expressed in the letter I wrote about the thing, I had experienced things growing up. The town that I grew up in, there was all kinds of paranormal activity that went on in that town and stuff, no matter where you went. But once I had moved to Indianapolis area, it, you know, I didn't have those kinds of things happening to me until that point. And then I was like, oh, I don't want this back. Because as anybody knows, that if you've experienced that, it's not fun.
No.
And it's usually not good. And I didn't know what it was, but it couldn't have been good if it was hanging out in that car. And it was weird that it was a rental car. And the guy who dropped the car off to me almost seemed like he felt the same thing, but nothing was said, you know?
That's probably fairly typical, though, of anyone trying to sell something to anyone not wanting. Oh, and by the way, added bonus, it comes with a dead guy, you know, and or a demon,
right.
Even better, you know, or two for one of each, you know. It's not not usually a disclosed item on the bill of sale.
Once I said you're not welcome here and stuff, you can't come in my house and stuff, you know, the car still felt weird, but once I turned it in, everything was good, you know.
Yeah. Well, that is a good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. I know it's been a long time since you've called in on the other one, but I really do appreciate you taking the time to get that out to us tonight. So thank you very much for that. Looks like we have another caller here at 956. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Amanda, I'm calling from Texas.
Hey, Amanda, let's hear your story.
Okay, so it's not really so much of an actual, like, it's an experience I had, but I wasn't awake. What happened was first off, let me say that me and my grandmother, we had a huge connection. Every summer, she'd watch me with my grandfather. My parents would leave me with her all weekend, all summers, all the time, basically, because my parents worked. So when my grandmother passed away, she'd come in my dream. Well, a couple of years ago, she came to my dream, and she told me that my grandfather had three incidents that were going to happen, and when they happened, that was going to be it. And so when the first incident happened, that was the dream, and she told me that. So I was like, okay. Well, then last Thanksgiving in 2016, mm-hmm. she ended up coming again, and then he fell on Thanksgiving Day. Well, then following April, he ended up dying. He fell again and he died. But the week before, she came to me, and it was right before Easter, and she says, "Mija, I'm getting ready," because, well, we're Spanish, so we say like mija, which means like child.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I'm getting ready, I'm getting all pretty." And to me, that I figured, oh, it's Easter up in heaven. She's obviously telling me they're getting ready for their Easter occasion. And it wasn't, because the week after he died, they both came to me. And so I just wanted to share that.
So you weren't even like, you had known that, you know, you were still trying to figure out what the three meant. So when you had that third encounter, it didn't occur to you that this is the third encounter. I better brace myself.
I knew it was, because I even told my dad when he fell, I was like, this is it, Dad.
Yeah.
This is it.
Did it make it any easier to have the warning from the other side, or was it still just as, you know, just as hard as it would have been without, do you think?
It was easier for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't tell anybody about it. I told my dad, obviously, because it was his father.
Sure.
But other than that, like, it was a good experience. I was glad that I got to experience it, but it was a trip.
Sure. And it's difficult no matter when that happens, even when you have the loved one that is coming back to give you the warning as well. There's no real easy way to get through that no matter who's telling you that it's about to happen. Thanks for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We do Greatly appreciate it. And I think that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, like I've been saying, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. You get access to all the bonus episodes. You get an e-copy of our book. You get a fast pass email to send your stories into us to get to the front of the line for consideration for the show, advanced episodes of the program, and whatever other random shit I come up with. I'm always trying to come up with new stuff for that. So $5 a month is all it is. It's all I ask. It's like less than cost of a cup of coffee. So if you listen to the show more than once a month, this is my day building this thing. So if you like it, please consider contributing just a little bit of change there to allow us to stay on the air and do this thing. You can contribute over at ghostpodcast.com. And if that's not your thing, Patreon. We have a page for that as well. You can find the link for that at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Tony Brisky. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.